Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through that Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son into the hearts of us who believe and there makes his dwelling place. Amen. The word of God to which I invite your attention today is Psalm 119, verses 33 to 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep thy law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the paths of thy commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to thy testimonies and not to gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities, and give me life in thy ways. Confirm to thy servant thy promise, which is for those who fear thee. Turn away the reproach which I dread, for thy ordinances are good. Behold, I long for thy precepts. In thy righteousness, give me life. So far the word. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, those words, section 5 of Psalm 119, are the traditional matin psalm for the fifth Sunday after Trinity, as yesterday would be known according to the traditional church year, or the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, as it is more recently spoken of. According to the inscriptions to the Psalms, King David is author of 73, but it is commonly surmised that he wrote more. 34 of the 150 Psalms have no inscription whatever, and Psalm 119 is one of those 34. And yet it is easy to think of David as author of Psalm 119. Read about him in the book of Samuel, from youth to old age. And there, one is impressed by the fact that from youth to old age, David referred to himself with satisfaction as God's servant, just as the psalmist, according to our hearing of it moments ago, does in the fifth section of Psalm 119. That name, servant, which David found to be so acceptable for himself, even welcome, does not rest easily on us and our contemporaries. Traditionally rugged American independence not only finds disfavor toward the title servant as applying to an individual, but even shows a measure of dislike for the name employee. Works rather toward being at the least boss for an owner, or better yet, a person in self-employment who may be boss for other people. Well, that attitude can express drive for fulfillment of one's potential in the spirit of good stewardship under God. And it will, if it comes under an overriding attitude of Christian faith, which, as with David, sees self as servant to God and God's servant to men, because we are not our own, but have been bought with a price. That servant attitude to and for God is nourished in the words of Psalm 119, verses 33 to 40, words which express David's prayer and pledge as a servant. Join me in considering those words briefly, so that both the prayer and the pledge there found may become ours. The petitions concern themselves with God's word. The words of reference are the way of thy statutes, thy law, thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy promises, thy ordinances, thy precepts. It's plain by those words of reference that the whole of God's word is meant. The law would be an easy understanding for such expressions as the word law itself, or statutes, commandments, ordinances, and precepts. But when we find intermingled with those words of reference, the other two, promises and testimonies, then we are moved to believe that God's word in its entirety, in both its great doctrines, law and gospel, is meant here. Law, the expression of God's will. That word of the Lord which speaks to man in his natural condition and makes him realize that not only in the externals of living, words and deeds, not only in the inner motions of a person's being, thoughts and feelings, but even in the very state of one's being, man is a hopelessly lost sinner as he stands before the God of the ages. For it's not only the words and deeds, the thoughts and feelings which stand in evident violation of God's holy will, but it's even the state of being as one which can produce nothing else than such thoughts and feelings, words and deeds that make a person realize that he's a lost and condemned creature. But that same word in its testimonies and promises tells us about what God decreed in eternity and implemented in time by foretelling with increasing generosity of detail the coming of his Son, which was finally accomplished when Jesus was born into this world of the Virgin Mary, true man in all respects except for the inheritance of sin, so that he could become in a very literal way the substitute for all mankind, taking upon himself every responsibility which God had laid on man at the time of creation, and discharging all of those responsibilities with impeccable perfection. And yet, after having lived the righteous life for us all, which we ought to have lived, taking upon himself the wages which we and all mankind have actually earned by our state of being, by our thoughts, feelings, words, and deeds, and letting those wages be paid in full to himself, so that it can be said in all reality that Jesus has redeemed us from our sins, brought us back from death and condemnation, in order that we who look at Jesus by the gift of the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament as being not just our brother in the flesh, but our God and Lord, our Savior and Redeemer, can see that in him we belong to God now and shall be his forever. When the Spirit working in us has led us to that kind of faith, then we are returned to that expression of God's will in his holy law. And we see that there lies the question, which is the answer to the question which is roused in our hearts by the love which is part of the faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, what can we do to please you? And we find in God's statutes, precepts, commandments, the guidance by which we can learn godly Christian manners. Now, against the background of such words of reference, the psalm portion which we have read makes prayer requests. Teach me. Give me the information, O God. Impress the facts on me. Give me understanding. Don't let that impression of facts be just rote or letter learning, but make it a comprehension of meaning on my part. Enlighten me. Lead me in the path. Don't let my use of the word, even when I've arrived at comprehension of meaning, be just an intellectual matter, a head learning. Let it be heart learning. so that with all my heart and being I trust in the words of promise and implicitly accept the guidance of the precepts and commandments. Cause me to put into practice in every way the things which you, O God, have led me to comprehend. Incline my heart. Cause me to enjoy the learning and the using of what I have learned more than anything else at all, more even than that gain upon which the world places such high priority. And protect me. Protect me from everything that would interfere with or contradict my knowledge and practice according to your word. Don't let me become enamored with vanities or squelched by dreaded reproaches. Rather, confirm your promises to me. And there we would have called to mind that lesson which we heard from the 28th chapter of Jeremiah moments ago. There Hananiah had come to the people of God as a man who had not been sent, but was nevertheless using his tongue to say, he says. And he contradicted the words of the properly appointed prophet, Jeremiah. While Jeremiah had been prophesying a doom at the hands of Babylon of great duration, Hananiah offered the vanity of saying, ah, no, dear people, there are better things for which to hope. In just 2 years, all of those temple treasures which have been carried off will be returned, and the people of Israel will all be restored to their homeland, and once again, not only in the worship of the true God, but in all their living, the children of the one true God shall have glorious living. But the prophet Jeremiah answered Hananiah and reminded him that the proof of the validity of his prophecy would have to be found in the fulfillment of his prophecy, a fulfillment which was not made, but rather was fulfilled that contradicting prophecy which Jeremiah, as God's spokesman, made, namely that within the year, Hananiah, as false prophet, would die. And so we need protection from vanities and from the squelching of dreaded reproaches. For wherever there are true prophets like Jeremiah to be found, there also the counterfeits are invariably present. The counterfeit who will either offer vanities which attract us through their stronger appeal to our human natures while avoiding the new man of God planted in our bosoms, or will else speak to us in dreaded reproaches which would be designed to make us feel like fools if we do not follow the claimed higher wisdom of that which is being offered to us by the false prophet. Protect me, O Lord, was a prayer that was needed in the day of the psalmist and is needed equally much now. And finally, the psalmist says, by way of petition, behold, I long for thy precepts. In thy righteousness, give me life. In effect, he is saying, dear Lord, start from the top and do it all over for me again and again. Teach me, give me understanding, lead me in the path, incline my heart, protect me. And having spoken such a prayer in faith, the psalmist does not hesitate to assume answer to prayer, and on the basis of assumed answer to make promise. And so he pledges, I will observe your word with my whole heart and keep it to the end. I will not compartmentalize my life, but everything will come under the truth of the word. I will not take vacations from truth, but will keep it for as long as I live. The goodness of this prayer and pledge is truly testified by the fact that God chose to include it in his word. This prayer and pledge, or prayer of petition and praise, by that same inclusion in the word of God, is also clearly designed for all of us. for those who live in the family of God, and for those who work as leaders among God's children. May this prayer and pledge, by the grace of God, become words on the tongues of us all, meaning in the minds of us all, object of trust and confidence in the hearts of us all. Amen.